Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner, here with another program of Two Guys with Heart. We have a fascinating program, one that's going to touch your heart today as we speak to you about the little smallest details of your very life. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonna.
Dave, boy, it sure is good to see you, my friend.
I'm here today.
Hey, we have a lively program set up for our listeners. This is one that's right down your alley. Of course, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we've done a few shows that were based, a few programs that were based on the Holy Spirit and the impact of our lives. Well, today is going to kind of follow suit in that thought process, because I want to let our listeners be aware that the very smallest details of your life are impacted by the Holy Spirit. And those are pretty powerful thoughts if you think about it long enough. You see, the Holy Spirit notices everything. And that's what I want our listeners to appreciate. Your tears affect the Holy Spirit. When others fail to see your tears, hey, he's recorded them. Thou tellest my wanderings, but thou, my tears into thy bottle, they are not thy book. Psalms 56. That's kind of a backwards way to read that sentence out of the Bible, but you got the gist of it. Psalms 56 verse 8 says that, you see, the hairs on your head are even numbered by God, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Yes, that comes right out of the Bible as well. Luke 12 verse 7 says just that. You see, your offering receives the attention of God regardless of their size. Those of you who are taking notes might want to write that one down. Look up at Mark 12, verses 41 to 44, and see what it says about that. Oh, our God is glorious and wonderful. Nothing escapes his attention. While the ungodly may experience anger or even fear because of the continuous eyes of God upon them, those who are obedient delight in the constant surveillance of their circumstances. You see, somebody is watching out for you. Somebody is recognizing your effort. Somebody is listening to your praise today. Somebody is scheduling your supply even while you are looking at your losses. You see, somebody is planning your recovery tomorrow while you are discussing your failures from yesterday. That's right, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is ever working on your behalf because of the love of the Father for your life. No good thing will he withhold from them that walketh upright. Psalms chapter 84, verse 11 says just that. You see, your confusion will not embarrass him. Your ignorance does not agitate him. Your anger does not intimidate him. The Holy Spirit is keenly aware of the emotional currents that you are experiencing every single moment. Your family may be too busy to notice. Your best friends, may feel baffled to help. But the Comforter, who walks beside you, is continuously advising you, protecting you, and scheduling miraculous events to keep you focused on your assignment and your dreams of God for your life. You see, David understood this awesome attentiveness to the Holy Spirit. Read what it says in Psalms 139, this first five verses. Always remember, the Holy Spirit is keenly aware of the smallest details of your life. That's the message we're trying to share. Dave, I would imagine the Holy Spirit probably speaks to you on a routine basis. I wish I could say that I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me continuously. I can't quite say that, but almost. How about your experiences, Dave? Does the Holy Spirit speak to you continuously?
You know, Giff, I was just going to ask you a question.
Okay.
But you've asked me.
Yes.
You started off and talked about tears.
Yeah.
And that caught my attention.
Yes. Yes.
I asked myself right at this moment, you know, how big a jar does God have for me? How many tears do
How many tears would a jar hold? Yes.
How many?
That's a fair question.
I was just kind of a tough week this week.
Yeah.
My brother passed away.
Oh.
And I couldn't get to North Carolina, but I took in the funeral service on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
That was precious.
Yeah.
Then my sister, we got to talking about Paul, and I said, "Hey, sis, we've lost one of us now." And she started to cry.
Yeah.
I mean, she shed a lot of tears over the phone, and that got my attention.
It sure would.
Wow, my sister. She said, "You know what happened yesterday? My hot water tank just quit." She said, and I looked underneath, was leaking water all over the floor and rusted out.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I called the man to see what kind of a price he had on water heaters.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? How many years do you have before you get a hot water heater?
That's right.
She told me $660, and I said, how are you going to pay for it? She said, I don't have a dime. She said, we had the worst Christmas. She said, my husband is sick and we can't afford the right pills.
Oh, my.
See, we have, I can't pay the house payment this month. I don't have food. And she's just crying her arms out. I'm a brother. You know what that does to you?
Oh, my.
I mean, it makes you weep all over yourself.
Sure does.
When I hung up the phone, I said, boy, what am I going to do? I went to Judy and my wife and I said, hey, babe. My sister's in trouble. Yeah. I mean, big trouble. Yeah. She doesn't know how she's going to get through the next 7 days. And boy, I tell you, we got, Judy was so great about it. We got down into the funeral money that we set aside.
Mm-hmm.
I said, babe, if we don't die, we don't need that money.
Well, can't argue with that one.
And I said, if I die in the next week, you're going to have to pay the funeral bill.
Yeah.
But we sent her a check. She was so down and so crying, she couldn't even say a word to me. And she called last night saying, I got the check.
Wow.
And she was in another unknown mood. She was so happy and she was so up and up, and she was at the top of her life. And we had another great conversation, and, you know, tears are a language.
Yes, they are.
That God understands. Isn't that a song?
Well spoken.
Couriers have sung that song.
Have they? I don't know that one.
Tears are a language that God understands. We sang that for years. That's an old, old, old song. But I wish I could play it right now.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful. But when the Holy Spirit sees your tears, he understands and takes control of your life and helps you decide things you couldn't decide. You know, when you have so much money to do, you can't be giving it all away.
That's right.
You can't be saying, hey, boy, here's a couple of $1,000. Yeah, go get yourself right, you know. So you have to, the Holy Spirit comes and guides you. Because he understands. Tears are a language that God understands. Are you crying today out here in Radio Land? You've turned our way and you said, man, you guys are hitting it right on the money today. I've been weeping all morning. I believe there are people like that are led to hear our message today.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit helping them understanding their tears, their language, their life, and gives them comfort, then our program is worthwhile. and our life is worthwhile when we have a conversation. We need to be aware in our life that there are people who cry when we don't have to very much anymore. When you're in your 80s and you get down the other side, you don't weep anymore. You weep for the world who is in frustration. But I don't weep that much anymore. Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will come. Like Friday, it was tough.
It sure would be.
But if you're listening today and you're thinking, "Wow, why am I weeping today? And what is God trying to talk to me about?" Reach out and say yes. Give and Dave, they talked about the Holy Spirit reaching out and touching us and lifting us and bringing us out of the doldrums and put us back on our feet again. This is a great day for you. You came to the right spot. What do you think about that?
I couldn't agree with you more. That kind of pushes us right into the next area that I wanted to talk about today, because I have that similar weakness, only I think I go to tears easier today than I ever did before in my life. So you and I are a little different in that regard. I mean, I can't even sing How Great Thou Art to all four verses, because by the time I get to the fourth verse, I'm in tears and then I can't sing at all. Okay. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It just hits me different sometimes. Singing is probably one of the greatest abilities that we have when it comes time to worship. Nice. You see, singing is very, very, very important to the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of like the next page of my subject material for today, how the Holy Spirit does listen to your singing. The Holy Spirit sings over you as well as us singing over him. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice in with thee. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over with thee singing. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. That's how it reads. You see, many people cannot imagine our God singing, but he does. I can picture this so clearly in my heart. The Holy Spirit is like a mother leaning over the bed of her small child and singing, "Sleep, my precious baby. Sleep, precious love of my life. I will watch over you and protect you until the day that follows the night." That's how the Holy Spirit will treat us, the same way we might treat a young child.
You realize that's what I've done all my life?
I know. That's why I'm bringing this subject up. This is your area of expertise.
Singing. Whoa, what you just know about singing, my goodness.
The Holy Spirit wants you to sing when you enter his presence. Come before his presence with singing. That's what it says in Psalms chapter 100, verse 2. That's exactly what it says. You see, sounds are wonderful to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the birds today as they sing out in their wonderment. Or listen to the sounds of animals, the wind that's blowing through the trees, and even the wonderful sounds from the family members that are close to us. Singing is an essential part of this world. That's why the Holy Spirit wants you to be aware of his fervent desire to hear you sing to him. Sing to him specifically, not just to people. Dave, I just wonder how many times you have done that in your lifetime. Probably tens of thousands of times. Do you have any idea how many songs you sang praising the Lord in your day?
We've sung 10,000 concerts.
10,000 concerts, and you sang, what, maybe 20 to 25 hymns on each concert?
We recorded 500 songs.
Oh, my. Is that right?
And they are all precious to us.
Yes.
They are not frivolous. We are not a frivolous singing group.
No,
we are not a funny group most of the
time. That's
right. We are asking the Holy Spirit to take our song and put it in the heart of somebody who needed it the most.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's life.
That's life.
And if you're in the doldrums today, sing a song. Get the songbook out and find, just sing one verse and one chorus. And you'll find something coming in over your life that says, those two old guys were right. They were right.
Singing from your heart and not from your mind does make a difference.
Yes.
He does not need fancy words when you're singing to the Lord. Unusual philosophies not necessary, or the beautiful sounds not a requirement. He simply wants you to open your heart and let the love sounds flow, just flow from your body. It's like the love chapter. You ever, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about those kinds of things. If you're taking notes, write that one down. You want to read the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Sing in your prayer language too. The Apostle Paul understood this incredible power of singing. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 15 says just that. Look at Acts chapter 16 to see what it says. Thus, you see, the Holy Spirit wants you to sing together with the other saints. When you sing to the Holy Spirit, evil spirits will leave you. Your mind, your body, your soul, it's like flushing your system. Spirits come when he is celebrated. The Holy Spirit is right there when you speak of his name. Invest in an excellent quality stereo and make a make music part of your life, your everyday life. It is worth every penny to get a good system. Your mind will respond. Your heart will find new fire. Your body will receive a surging of new energy and vitality. And most of all, the Holy Spirit will manifest his presence with you. And when you get that nice radio or that nice stereo system and you want to hear some good Christian music, we recommend WPFG 91.3 FM.
We're not out of bed 5 minutes until Judy's turning the radio on. And music is filling our house. And we're finding I'm singing in the living room and she's in her bedroom and she's singing.
We're singing up a storm.
Right.
We have it on every morning in our house as well. Every morning. Well, the singers are a central part of the battle of the Old Testament, and I guess I think that's maybe why we do it. Second Chronicles talks about that a lot in chapter 20, verse 21 is where you'll read a lot of that stuff in the Old Testament. Singers were often the reason for victories against the enemies of God. That's also in Second Chronicles. Your singing to the Holy Spirit will create an atmosphere of thanksgiving. Your singing will greatly influence your focus. Your singing can dispel every demonic influence designed to distract you. You're able to stay focused if you're singing. Your singing will arouse the energy and passion of your own body to focus on your Creator. And how much of a blessing can that be? You see, your singing is an act of obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's right out of Psalms chapter 100. Your singing can affect nature itself. Read again the incredible story of Paul and Silas in prison. Remember that story? Everything was going against them. They had been beaten. They were alone in incredible pain. But they understood the weapon of singing. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. You see, the foundations were destroyed when they began to sing. Singing can make your enemy demoralized, discouraged, and decide to move away from you. Well, Paul watched this happen when he and Silas sang in prison. And the keeper of their prison awakened out of his sleep. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. Remember that? And he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But they didn't. They stayed, didn't they? Acts 16, that's in that same area. Your singing may be the turning point in someone's personal salvation. No one knows that better than Dave, Colonin, and the Carriers. It happened for the jailer when Paul and Silas sang. It can happen to you too. Tell me more. Dave, you just have an abundance of those stories of how your singing impacted the lives of those listeners and how people were converted in your very presence. Our listeners would like to hear some of those stories. Can you just share one or two of them? I know that those kind of words are extremely inspiring.
Our singing got us into a lot of places. We would sing somewhere, and the altars, people would come to the altar just to come up with us and say, can we pray with you before we leave? And then they would go out and tell everybody, and the phone would ring, and pretty soon we were singing everywhere because people had been blessed by the song.
Mm-hmm.
And there came a day when we finally could afford making a record. It cost us thousands of dollars, but boy, records and CDs and cassettes and everything that you could imagine. It was wonderful to see people walk away with just a stack of music, knowing that they would be playing that on the way home from the concert.
Yep.
Every time we learned a song, we asked God to help us to learn a song that would touch the heart. And sometimes people expected us to sing real fast music and full of vim and vigor. You know, we were not that kind of a group. Neil, bless his heart, he wrote 60 songs. None of them were fast. We were a group that walked out there and said, God, we're going to sing music that is for you. And if you listen, then somebody else will listen. We learned how to sing in Bible school. Mm-hmm. We were just kids.
Sure.
When I went to Bible school, I was 19. And I didn't know where I was going, but music came into my life right away at the school. There's all kinds of choirs, there's all kinds of groups. And they were all doing their thing, and I was trying to find out what in the world, how could I get into this? What could I do? Finally, there's a group called the Couriers that came along in my second year and said, would you like to sing with us? And I said, man, I've been dying to be a singer, but I don't know how. You guys are going to have to teach me. I'm teachable. I want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to sing harmony. I didn't know how to sing a bass part. I didn't know what a bass part was. And all I knew was four guys with two microphones, and we were learning how to sing a song. And when we sang, we watched people weep.
Wow.
And we watched people raise their hands for prayer. And
wow.
We finally saw, wow, our songs have an effect.
Yeah.
And when we came down to the end of the fourth year, everybody said, what are we going to do? We've been singing for 4 years. Every weekend, somewhere, we evangelized the Midwest before we ever came to Pennsylvania. We evangelized Oklahoma, Kansas, Illinois. And then everybody said, well, we're not going out to be preachers now. We got singing. We were good at it. Let's do a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we were good at it, but we really weren't. We were amateurs. And then we moved to Pennsylvania. They only came because I asked them to. I was from Pennsylvania. And I said, why don't you come to Pennsylvania? And they're from the Midwest. Neil's from Illinois and Dwayne's from Oklahoma. They thought about that and said, man, why do we want to go way out to Pennsylvania? No way. And then finally they saw there was no other way, and they said, yes, let's go. And here we are. All those years later, singing songs. That's what we do. We sing songs. Being retired, it has moments of saying, man, I wish the phone would ring. I wish somebody would call. We could probably get together for a few songs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dwayne had his 80th birthday the other day, and we went up to the church and had a party. And somebody said, after the party was almost over, somebody said, why don't you sing a song? Lord have mercy.
And you did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you find out you can still do it, you want to.
Yeah. Dwayne was there, too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
It was his birthday party.
In your early stages of your singing career and you moved to Harrisburg, I can't help wondering, it had to be difficult at first because you were unknown here. How did you get yourself established in radio and on television? Was that easy?
That was hard.
Ah.
That was hard. We went for 10 years before we made it a decent paycheck. Made $89
wow.
a week for 10 years. And the tough part about that, when we came here, nobody wanted to have a whole night of music. Said, no way, no way, no way. But we started with 10 people, 12 people, 15, yeah. 20. Then we got to 100, and finally we got on television, and we packed every church in central Pennsylvania.
Wow. Now that's a powerful testimony. It's proof of what we're trying to share with our listeners today. Singing to the Holy Spirit, singing to Jesus, singing to God, is what makes this world a great place to be. This nation is strong because of the Christian foundation that's been established some 200 and some years ago, and to this day, people like Dave Colonin and the Carriers have kept that moral values in high standards. I thank you for sharing, my friend. We've exhausted our time. It's time for us to say goodbye. I hope to see you again tomorrow.
I'm going to be here, so have a good one till then. Bye-bye.